96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. We all have close friends, and some of those close friends are very good with money. But have you ever asked them how that works? Or maybe you're afraid they wouldn't tell you if you asked. Well, tonight, we're talking about your money and the 15 truths your successful friends won't tell you. My guests are Muriel Garr, co-host of Beyond the Bling on Sirius XM Channel 141, and Melissa Bradley, entrepreneur and managing partner at Sidecar Social Finance. Lines are open. We're talking about your money tonight, so give us a call. Have some experts on. And look, free advice, operative word, free. So 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Certainly you can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Muriel and Melissa, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having us.
Melissa, okay, let's get right to it. I'm going to start with you. Why are you holding back on your good financial information and not sharing it with your friends?
Well, I'm happy to say I'm not holding back. I actually share it. The problem is most people don't want to know. I think the reality is we live in a society where we're willing to show what we think we're worth as opposed to talk about it. And many people have experienced hardship. It's not a conversation they've had growing up. And so a lot of folks, when I do bring it up, they don't want to talk about it because it means you have to address things that you're afraid of. You have to address things that you might have done wrong. And I think we live in a society where you make one mistake, no matter what it is, and we think you have to carry that burden for life. So we have to find a safe place to have these important conversations.
Have you ever, Muriel, been in a situation where one of your friends surprised you with a question about good financial management, money management, when heretofore they'd never said anything before?
I wouldn't say I've been in a situation where one of my friends surprised me, because I surround myself in my inner circle with individuals that are focused on moving towards wealth. And I say my inner circle. So those are the individuals that I'm spending a lot of time with. And when they come to me, they're actually coming to me on what they call money advice, because they look at me as being very frugal and really direct around some sound money practices and money behaviors.
So you mean every one of your inner members of your inner circle is super successful with their money management?
When I say my inner circle, mm-hmm. So that's
both of them. Both of those two friends, those two folks, your mother and your daughter, right?
I'm going to take that on the chin. But for my inner circle, because mm-hmm. I am, and Harold, you know me. You've known me for a long time. You know I'm anal when it comes to this thing about money. Mm-hmm. And I'm anal about sound spending habits. So when I'm talking about my inner circle, they understand the fact that I am anal, and they're going to have those straight conversations with me.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. Now, it's the circle outside of that inner circle. And the inner circle is those individuals that know all the good, bad, and really ugly about you. Now, there are individuals in that outer inner circle who have surprised me and asked for some feedback on certain things around their financial livelihood. And it always brings a smile to my face, because when they come, they're like, okay, I'm coming to you because I know I'm not going to like it. However, I need to make a change in this direction.
Mm-hmm. And here's the important piece. You said something interesting. When they say, I know I'm not going to like it, I guess they're at the point where it's not personal. It has nothing to do with you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
But it's about, let me take this medicine.
Let me take this medicine. And I'll gladly share a story. I have a couple that I've been working with and doing some financial coaching with. And real short, they were getting ready to make a decision to move into a certain direction. And we had been working for about 18 months, and I had prescribed this road that you need to travel, automate, make sure you're making these payments, reduce your credit utilization, et cetera. It left it to them to self-report. So they were getting ready to move towards this goal and everything. So they are self-reporting. They're moving towards the goal. High five, Muriel, we got it. Bam. Then they called me afterwards and said, we weren't able to obtain what it was we were going after.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, okay, you were self-reporting as to what you were doing in this money management space. So apparently there was a lack of truth and transparency there.
Mm-hmm.
And to which they responded, well, yeah, we weren't doing exactly everything that you told us.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're going to have to come and sit on the couch because we didn't expect the outcome that we actually obtained.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about your money management and the 15 truths your successful friends don't tell you about your money. Lines are open. Give us a call. Let me go to John. John calling from D.C. John, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Great. Thank you. I was calling in for a little advice, so I'm a recent entrepreneur, so I started a business, and I found myself digging more into my pockets to start this business. So I know that's moving to a world, but then again, it's like, I have all these bills, so I'm opening this business. So I wanted to know what advice you guys had for someone in my shoes, where I'm trying to obtain that wealth, but it's like starting this business has cost me a lot of money.
I want Melissa to take this question, but before I do, what kind of business are you talking about here, John, as an entrepreneur?
Well, I started a consulting firm, an educational consulting firm based out of Washington, D.C.
Okay, Melissa, go right ahead.
Sure. Well, I appreciate the question and congratulations on launching your business, first and foremost. I work with a lot of entrepreneurs throughout the D.C. metropolitan area, and I find that oftentimes we forget that we are our business until we make an official separation. And even then, until we get to a certain state, we are only going to be able to advance our business as much as we can advance ourselves, as Muriel has spoken. So I think first and foremost is making sure you have the right organizational structure so that you are able to truly separate the expenditures you have for yourself versus the expenditures you have for your business, and you're filing different forms, and you have a phenomenal tax accountant who can help you manage that burden. The second thing is as you're doing that, it's a natural tendency that we see of entrepreneurs making $1,000 to making $100,000. Do not commingle funds, because it's the only way that you're going to be able to tell and make smart decisions on how to use money and how to use credit. In the beginning, it's going to be hard to get possibly credit for your business, particularly from a service perspective, but thinking about and accurately documenting any money you're putting into the business, any money you spent, separating that out, keeping separate accounts, getting a specific business accountant as well as a business tax preparer are going to be extremely important. And the beauty is that there are tons of software products. The article talks about really no reason now, because tech is there. You have tons of software programs from Bench, which is actually an online system specifically for small businesses, where you can literally scan all of your receipts and they upload it for you. And then you also get one-on-one advice with your monthly subscription. But the key is to separate the business, keep track of what you're investing, and know that over time, your credit with your business will grow, but it does not mean you can totally neglect your independent personal credit.
John, thank you so much. And congratulations on starting your own business. Good luck. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about the 15 truths your successful friends won't tell you about money. And we are going to get to those 15 truths. It's part of an article written by Dan Ketchum. You can Google 15 money truths your successful friends won't tell you, and it's certainly there. But let me go to Mike. Mike calling from Forestville. Mike, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I just wanted to get her the guest opinion on how does she feel about employing other services like financial advisors to help obtain some of those long financial goals. I've been able to do fairly well. I do a monthly budget on my computer at home with a spreadsheet, see what I'm spending. I've been able to contribute to my 401k, ever since I've been working with the company I'm working with now. But what I'm finding is, based on the information that I've gathered thus far, I'm not sure if I'm actually on target for, like, retirement plans and long-term financial goals. And I'm just trying to get a feel for how does she feel If you feel like you're falling short, what other professional advice?
Well, Mike, let me see what Muriel has to say about a financial advisor, because there are all kinds of financial advisors.
There are all kinds of financial advisors. First of all, Mike, I want to commend you for what you're doing and your focus, because one of the things you said is you're on track and funding your 401k, and many of us sort of leave those dollars on the table. And one of the things I would say is we are good with what we do every day. And if what we do every day is not money, then it is in our best interest to employ, and employ could be by some sitting with someone who's in the financial sector or actually employing someone to be a financial advisor to help us look at where we are as far as our financial picture, understand what our goals are for life, our short-term and our long-term goals. Are we investing the right amount of money to actually reach those goals over a period of time? What would be the right investment strategy or products that we should be investing in? So definitely, I would say I am very much in favor of having a financial advisor as a part of your network of individuals. But I would also caution that financial advisors, their compensation is based on different factors. And so it is wise to make sure that you understand how they're compensated, to make sure that what's motivating them to provide you advice is what's going to benefit you, and that you also do some research as you would when you're going to purchase a car or you're going to buy a home. You also do some research on that financial advisor to ensure that you're getting the best service for what it is you have to offer.
And Mike, before I let you go, in one of the best pieces of advice I've ever had about a financial advisor is make sure you pay the money to the person who's managing your money. You don't want that person to be upset with you because you're behind, on your bill. And I say that, tongue in cheek, but, the reality is that, as Muriel suggested, people are compensated for making sure that you are financially successful, a little bit of success or a lot. And so you don't want to get behind to the person who's managing your money.
You don't want to be behind. And I agree with you there.
But you also want to,
it is a good relationship, but you also want to understand what their compensation model is.
What they're doing.
And what they're doing. Because if it's heavily weighted towards commission in a certain sector, then you may find that that's what they're going to sell you, which may not necessarily be in your best interest.
There you go. Well, good luck to you, Mike, and thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tonight we're looking at the 15 truths your successful friends won't tell you when it comes to money. We're going to get to all of that, and it's about to get really, really good. So if you are listening to the program, give us a call, because we have some open lines at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Some of the best advice you will get for free. So Sally, calling from Lanham, I need you to hang on. Stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. Again, 202-319-7810. We'll have more of this conversation in just a few seconds. Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight, we're talking about your money and the 15 truths your successful friends won't tell you. My guests are Muriel Garr, co-host of Beyond the Bling on Sirius XM, Channel 141, and Melissa Bradley, entrepreneur and managing partner at Sidecar Social Finance. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Let's go to Sally, calling from Lanham, with another one of those entrepreneurial questions. What's on your mind there, Sally? Sally, are you there? Sally, give us a call back if you can. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Alan, calling from Silver Spring. Thanks for calling.
Hey. That was quick time. Good afternoon, and thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. I'm enjoying the conversation. I am a mature person, nearing 60, a federal employee, and of course, thinking about retirement not too long. I consider myself fairly knowledgeable about finances. I've been in the market. My TSP is heavily weighted towards small caps and S&P. However, I don't know in terms of my age how much, if there's a formula for people in a certain age group, particularly mature people looking at retiring in, let's say, less than 5 years, how much you should hopefully have saved, or versus that versus, you know, life expectancy.
Mm-hmm.
And some financial people have a formula, say at such and such a stage in your life, you should have this amount of cash.
Well, Alan, I want Melissa to address that, but you just remember, you know, 60 is the new 40 or something
Thank
like that.
You. That's,
yeah, so you're.
Thank you so much. Right.
Yes, because you had Harold feeling very uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. You know. Yeah, man. You know.
I can take my answer off there. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Melissa, go right ahead.
Well, again, congratulations for you staying on top of it. I will say there are tons of retirement calculators, but while tech is an enabler, it's not going to answer and solve all the questions you have. There are tons of ways to figure out how much you need in terms of how long you're going to live. The real question is, though, how do you want to live? And sometimes those calculators are not as robust. So I would say spend time to look for retirement calculators. Look for one that not only plugs in your age and what you're making, but think about how you want to live. We find that people retire and they're able to sustain their existence, and it's not what they thought in terms of taking trips and being able to relax and do things with the grandchildren. And so I would also then say, before you do retire, take a look and think about, are there any reallocations that you can make? Are there any dollars that you can readjust or realign that may be slightly more on the riskier side? Do you want to, when there's periods, to take some of that out, put it into other areas or other investment products that will generate annuities in the longer term? It's a race, and you've got to pace yourself. And what's going to happen is what you experience in that first 5 years after you retire will be very different after the next 10. And certainly with the political environment and the changes in healthcare, you really want to be thoughtful of what is the way you want to live in terms of travel, in terms of enjoyment. What are the things you think may incur doing a real honest assessment around your health and also the health of others? As you said, 60 is the new 40, and so many of us are taking care of our parents. So it's not as simple as an algorithm, but it's a good way to start and then think about how do you go up or down or make adjustments in terms of what's the lifestyle you want upon retirement.
Well, there you go. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Before I take another phone call, because we've kind of touched, Muriel, on some of these 15 things. For example, one of the things that Melissa was just discussing was saving enough. But one thing we haven't really touched on is a budget. Talk to me briefly about what that means, the B word.
Well, you know, the budget is the word that many people who find that they have more month than they have money want to run away from. But really, in simple terms, it is an accounting of the responsibilities that we have to meet financially compared to an accounting of the revenue that we have coming in to be able to meet those responsibilities. So simply, it's what's coming in compared to what needs to go out. It is not a stagnant document. It should be fluid, which means it can change and it should change as situations change. The problem is we don't want to be bound to a budget because we feel like it limits what we can do. But in fact, what a budget tells us is really what's going on inside of us. If we say that our goal is X in year 3 or X or Y in year 5, but our behavior in year 1 is not going to actually allow us to get there, we're going to see that by looking at the budget because it shows what our exact behaviors are. And so it's not so much about the plus and the minus, it's what's behind the plus and the minus. That's what I teach people. It's what's behind that. Because everything that we do in the money space actually has to do with something else that's going on inside of us.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Pam, hey. Calling from Maryland. Hey, Pam, what's on your mind?
Hi.
Hi.
I don't know. I guess you can hear me.
Yes.
So I'm calling because I thought the question was, I came on the call late, but I thought the question was, what are our peers who have money not telling us?
Mm-hmm.
I do have not just peers, but relatives. I know they're realtors. They sell houses. They make money on top of their income, and they're not quite ready to retire, but that is a good way to prepare for retirement.
Yeah.
Well, having an additional revenue stream is not only a good way to prepare for retirement, it's a good way to actually move towards wealth. But whether you have an additional revenue stream or not, if you're spending more than what you bring in, then you're never going to get to wealth, and you're going to be trying to figure out what to do in retirement. So the key to successful financial living is, one, managing how you go about your spending behaviors. And oftentimes, we have people in our circle that we don't want to have the difficult conversation with. If your girlfriend is coming to you every other month saying, hey, I'm having some problems paying a bill and can I borrow, then the conversation you might want to have with your girlfriend is, how come you're going out to eat 3 days a week and then you're coming to me every other month looking for a hookup? I mean, those are difficult conversations that we may not necessarily want to have with our friends, but we need to have them. You know, you're always complaining about, you want to be like X, or if I get another job and I'll make more money, I'll be able to do this. But, you know, I notice whenever something new comes out, you're the first one to go buy it. You're never going to get to a place of financial security if that is your behavior. Now, often we don't want to have those conversations with those in our immediate circle because we don't want to deal with how they're going to receive us. They may come back and say, well, you know, what gives you, you know, the expertise to come at me that way, and by the way, you're not. And so we have to be mindful of what we see other people doing and thinking that they've got it made, one, because often just because it appears that way is not the case. But we also need to be strong enough in our relationships to have honest conversations with our friends.
Pam, thank you so much for your phone call. I appreciate it. I want to piggyback on that very issue, Melissa. I remember, and both of you actually may remember this. Maybe it's been 10 years or so ago. Oprah had a show about money, and there were a lot of black women in this book club kind of situation, maybe as many as 10 or 15 of them. But the issue that came up during this book club, and they were all relatively close, was not about the book. It was about money. And I specifically remember one of the women in the group who in the piece was talking about how she was struggling, but also struggling, Melissa, with not being able to talk to the people that she was closest to. So how do you talk to your friends about money? Whether it's one thing if they come to you and ask, because that kind of opens the door. But if you see that they are having difficulty and they're not asking you, how do you bring the issue up if you want to help?
You know, I see that a lot. And I want to, you know, touch upon and really echo what Meryl said around the budget piece. You know, I have people that come to me and will ask me for job advice. Or they come and they're really excited. I got a new side hustle. And I always say, that's fabulous. Why? And ultimately, when you ask the question why, you peel back the layers that the side hustle is often just enough to pay the bills. Or that they don't even know what they owe, or they're trying to get a job, to your point, because they need to make more money to do something else. And that's when I say, let's have an honest conversation. No shame here. I'm not perfect. I'm a work in progress. I've had my setbacks. I've learned from those. But I think you really want to think about, first and foremost, when is the right time to have that conversation? If somebody is calling you, they're anxious, or they're crying, probably not the best time, but certainly say, I totally understand. I hear you. Build that trust, build that bridge with them, and then say, let's go to lunch, or let's have some tea, or let's follow up. The second thing is, when people say, well, it seems like you're doing really well, say, hey, you know I am, but it wasn't always that way. Let's talk about what your goals are. But there'll be some where I'll say, wow, that's another new pair of shoes. That's the third pair this week. What's going on? Did you get a promotion? Did you get a raise? And they'll laugh and go, haha, no. I'll say, well, we should really talk about that. And I think because I am a finance person, I've spent time, ran a financial services company, there is an element where people probably will kind of coax over what they really want to talk about, but know deep down inside that they want to ask questions that they think I can answer. But I will say that I think it's really about creating a safe space. It's also about not being punitive. I know the article talked about not going out to dinner where we go out too often, and that may be the case. But part of this is there's the shame associated with oftentimes how we've managed our money or how our parents have managed our money. But there's also the reality that there's a fear that I'm going to lose out in what I actually enjoy. And so I always say to people, this is not about to stop doing what you're doing, but it's about how do I do it in moderation and how can I actually afford it. And I think if you're able to casually say things yourself or, hey, I heard about this or I did this today, and you are also willing to share your financial journey, then other people are willing to hop on. I saw that show, and actually when Oprah was here many years ago in D.C., she talked about this topic of money and the connection that we have. And again, it's something that is very powerful, but oftentimes we struggle with, we're ashamed of, we don't have a lot of positive role models. And I think that's where, again, we have to understand this is a long game. This is not going to be solved in one single conversation, but how do we create a safe space over a period of time, or really throughout our entire friendship, to say, I'm here to help you. There will be no judgment. There will be no yelling. There will be no blaming. But I am indeed here to help you.
Great, great. Let me go to Jake. Jake calling from D.C. Jake, what's on your mind?
Yes, I run a rooming house business and just having problems collecting the rent and that kind of a thing. Is it a good idea to get a management company, and how much would they charge?
Muriel, do you want to try to tackle that?
Well, if you're having problems collecting the rent, and I'm assuming you want to bring in a management company as a third party, but I think, Jake, we've got to go back. I would step back because you're asking how much would a management company charge. So my first question is, as you're looking at the profitability model for this rooming business, apparently you need to factor in what it is that you can afford to pay a management company. And then look at the range of the costs that the management companies actually charge, and then see what percentage of that you're going to be able to actually apply based on the rent that you're not receiving. So management companies don't necessarily charge a flat fee. What you're basically alluding to is that your property's not cash flowing because your tenants aren't paying the rent.
Right.
Correct. And so your goal is to collect the rent. And with that being the goal, then you can pay a management company 50 cents on what the market dollar would be, but you're going to pay the management company whether or not they deliver in collecting the rent or not. So the first criteria would be not necessarily how much the management company is going to charge, but what's the success rate of the management company and what you can negotiate from a standpoint of a fee.
And dare I say, Jake, check the people who are coming in and really understand why they're not paying the rent.
True that. Okay.
Very sound advice, because yeah. Melissa's, they may have a money habit that we need
exactly.
to address.
Exactly. Yeah. They may be sniffing you and a whole bunch of other people, so I hope you're doing credit checks and asking for security deposits, and not only the management company, be prepared to put people out if you have to.
Yeah.
Right. And one other quick question about QuickBooks. Is there a QuickBooks program for a room and house business?
A program?
QuickBooks can be set up for any business. It's all about what your chart of accounts are. So make sure you get in touch with an accountant who can set up the right chart of accounts.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Jake, good luck, and thank you so much for calling. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about your money. 15 things your successful friends won't tell you. We've got lots of stuff for you. We'll be back in just a moment.
HR Voices invites you.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about the 15 truths your successful financial friends don't tell you when it comes to money. Let's talk to Muriel about her favorite thing, her favorite
what
phrase, cash is king. You always say cash is king, cash versus credit. Talk to me about where the mistakes are made.
Well, you know, we're in the financial sector. One of the things that we're coaching on is that if you're looking to move forward, then credit should not be your friend. And the reason being is that if you're paying interest out, interest is not coming into you. And what we have done is we have become a society that's married to our credit cards. And as long as we have a credit card to charge on, we feel very good and comfortable about ourselves. We are not disciplined to pay that credit card off at the before the billing cycle. We have become accustomed to the convenience of the sector, which means making a monthly payment because that feels better, not realizing by doing so, we are robbing ourselves from wealth. So, and it's really difficult in some instances to have that conversation with your girlfriend who wants to go shopping and charge it is the way to go versus paying cash.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Tamika, calling from New York. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi, my name is Teresa.
Oh, it's Teresa. I'm sorry. Go right ahead, please.
Yes. And I was calling because I just moved here from Texas, and I have three sons, and I was one and my nephew. So I was wondering how I can cut my costs because the cost of living here is so high. Mm-hmm. And I moved here as an educator about 9 months ago, and I'm really having a difficult time just saving money and making ends meet while saving money also.
So you you said that you moved to the Washington metro area from Texas?
Yes.
Okay, and you have three sons, and you're taking care of your nephew?
Yes.
And are you're single?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to let you try that one, Melissa. I'm going to let you tackle that. And then Muriel also. Please
sure.
chime in.
Well, first of all, I commend you on taking care of your nephew and really focusing on your family. I think there's no one specific answer in terms of how to save, but to first and foremost, do you have a budget?
I do. I've been trying to budget, but every month I've been coming up kind of short. So I've been evicted even. I've been here and I've been evicted once before. My car is, the payments are late, but I've been like really trying to like stay on budget, but something else always comes up.
And you know, Teresa, I'm sorry, Melissa. Teresa, what you're going to find is what we call, you're saying you relocated to this market. And I would suspect that what you're experiencing is housing shock.
Yes, yeah, sticker shock all the way around. Absolutely.
The cost of housing in the DMV is extremely high, and it's actually one of the highest in the nation. As a single parent with three children and caring for an additional child, which would be four, I would wonder, did you actually research any of the affordable housing options in the DMV?
I just started looking because the judge had given me, when I was being evicted, the judge had given me a list of, like, places that could help, but they all say I don't qualify for the assistance.
So there are areas within the DMV and programs that provide emergency housing assistance for individuals who are at risk of losing housing or who have lost housing, especially those who have children, because we want to actually reduce the level of homelessness in the region. But in addition to those programs, there are multiple affordable housing dwellings in the DMV. And what that means is that the rent that those properties are charging tends to be less than market rate. Those properties are restricted for individuals that are making 80% or 50% or less of what we call the area median income. So in short, if the average income in the DMV is a six-figure income, there are housing complexes or rental complexes in the DMV which will only rent to individuals making $60,000 or $40,000 a year less. The rent in those units is considerably less than what we call market rate. The responsibility, though, is going to be on the tenant to actually identify where those properties are. The District of Columbia has a huge number of affordable housing dwellings, although not the number needed for the percentage of population that's in that space. What individuals have not looked at is that Northern Virginia actually has a considerable amount of affordable housing. However, their transportation system does not mirror that of D.C. proper. In addition, you have Prince George's County and Montgomery County. When we're looking at the best actual model for affordable housing, Montgomery County, Maryland, has a model for affordable housing that has been looked at nationwide and has an enormous amount of affordable housing units, many of which create opportunities for individuals similar to what I feel your situation is, to move from being a renter to a homeowner. So some suggestions. The Department of Housing and Community Development in Montgomery County, go to their website. They have a link or a list of affordable housing units or dwelling properties. They also have a list of phone numbers where you can contact them and show what the available units are. Fairfax County Department of Housing and Community Development, go to their website. They have a list of affordable housing dwellings. They actually also have an emergency list for some of the properties that are owned by the county. If you're a single parent with children, where you can actually get in on that emergency list and can be placed in housing immediately. The same for the District of Columbia, the Department of Housing and Community Development. I will tell you that the District of Columbia has a shortage of available units in the affordable housing sector, but they do have affordable housing.
And I just want to add to that real quick. It sounds like you're doing a lot. And one thing that the article doesn't really create a space for is it's okay to ask for help. Because housing seems like your immediate need, but it's going to be one of at least 5 to 7 major costs you're going to have, particularly when you're taking care of kids and you start talking about health care and transportation. So feel free to ask for help. If you're already engaged in the system and you have a judge, you can ask for a court-appointed advocate. And you can also ask them to help identify a credit building service or a financial service in D.C. or wherever you may be in the region that can actually help and sit down with you. I can imagine I have kids, it can be overwhelming. And so the one thing I want to say is feel free to ask for help because sometimes we can't do everything alone.
Okay. Teresa, go ahead. You had another question or comment?
No. Okay. This is like a wealth of information that I never got. Even when I went to court, they just didn't want to give me any information about anything. And it was just like, this is so much more than what I've ever gotten because I didn't even know there was even assistance out there like this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, you know, one of the reasons, you know, for this program when... whether you're talking about, you know, money or, you know, or housing or any other issue where people may need information and help, that's what we're here for. So we certainly, you know, wish you, you know, the very best. And I certainly hope that you're able to begin to build that financial foundation, not just for you, but also for those 4 young guys that you're taking care of. Okay?
Yes. Okay. One more thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
What was the credit building service?
If you go back to the courts, you could ask for a court-appointed advocate, and it'll either come out. You don't want it to come out of the housing division. You want it to come out of the family division. There are tons of advocacy organizations who could provide a series of wraparound services that could help with emergency housing, that could help identify. There's tons of credit builders, but just like Muriel spoke about financial advisors, you want to make sure you get a good one. But there are those that are associated with the family courts in each of the regions, and they will be assigned to help you.
Okay. Thank you guys so very much.
You're quite welcome. Welcome. And good luck to you, Teresa. I only have a few minutes left. I want some final thoughts from both of you, because there's so many of these things, these 15 truths that we've kind of touched on. I'll let you give the 16th truth, Muriel.
I don't know.
Muriel's always got to have a last word, so.
No. Is that your way of telling me I can speak?
Go help yourself.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I think one of the truths that I found really interesting is that you give up too easily. And Melissa has actually alluded to that in the commentary that she's provided throughout the show, is that, you know, all of us have gone through some financial challenge and you can't just give up. you've got to stay focused, and first of all, you've got to believe in yourself and know that you can. And part of that friendship model and wanting to have a conversation with your friends is to be able to have a conversation where people can leave that conversation with their dignity and then be encouraged in the midst of financial trauma to be able to move forward.
And your final thoughts, Melissa?
You know, the one thing that I think the article should have said if we were going for 16 or 17 is you are not alone. This is something that everybody at some point in time, I know people who have tremendous amounts of wealth, their dips and valleys may be of a different value, but everybody has a problem at some point in time. And so don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Do your research. But the bottom line is that you're not alone in this process.
Well, I think that's a great way to end this conversation, especially with the weekend being here. So hopefully we'll give some folks some second thoughts about going out and doing a whole lot of shopping and, you know, blowing a whole lot of money this weekend. Hey, you stay home with a cup of hot cocoa or something.
All depends on
with that extra hour. We want to make sure you don't go shopping. Go research.
Yeah, how about
go.
That?
Yeah. It's all about who you want to enrich.
Yeah, exactly. Enrich yourself. Muriel Garr, Melissa Bradley, thank you both so much for sharing with us tonight. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
That is the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141 for this Friday, November 3rd. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Troy Johnson, Millette Green, Bramante Bryan, producer Candace Atkins, engineers Craig Fowler, and Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can certainly tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection with Lorna Newton. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.